It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we got breaking news here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. You know how hard it was for us to get this? You know, yesterday we had Motorhome Diaries guys on, Pete and Jason, and what happened was after that they went to the Canadian border. I think they were in Vermont. They're going to Canadian border and go spread freedom. And then they put up, they got tweets out. We were just talking about this. They got some tweets out. You know, they went and grabbed their cameras, deleted the video and so on. They were doing ransacking for 4 hours. They're there. Oh, my goodness. And we called that number. And it was in French, you know, because Canadian, I guess there, you know, they have French and English. And what happened, you know, we got audio. We had, man, we just browbeat him. Jet Lacy was on it. He was just going, we want the audio. We want to know what happened, and this is the audio that we got.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Who is this?
It is Jason and Pete from the Motorhome Diaries. We bring to you a message of peace and liberty. We have been charged by our founders with a sacred quest. If you allow us passage, you may join us in our quest for individual liberty.
Well, I'll ask, but I don't think we'll be very keen. We've already got one, you see.
What? He says they've already got one. Are you sure?
Oh, yes, it's a very nice.
I told him we've already got one.
Well, can we come in and have a look?
Of course not. You are American types.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly motorhome types?
We come with a message of peace. I beg of you.
You don't frighten us, American do-gooders. Go and buoy your bottoms, sons of a silly person. I blow my nose at you, so-called motorhome diary types. You and all your silly Yankee can-niggets.
What a strange person. Now look, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal American liberty talkers. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelled of elderberries.
Is there someone else we could talk to?
No. Now go away, or I will cavity search you a second time.
I've been more than reasonable.
More than reasonable. Or are these guys, they're just bad guys. Well, we got Pete on the line there. Pete, tell us what happened, man. We got about a minute right here before we go to the break, and then we'll come back and get the whole story. But are you guys okay?
Yeah, right on. Thanks for having us back on. Didn't expect it to be this soon, but thanks for helping get the word out. And Jason's sitting here with me as well.
Hey, what's up?
You guys, you're just always in trouble, you know? I mean... So tell me the bottom line. How long were you there? And when they let you go, did you get all your stuff back? And were you allowed to pass?
Yeah, all our stuff we were able to get it back, but we were denied entry into Canada. We just published a post on our homepage, motorhomediaries.com, that has kind of a point-by-point detail of what went down. And it turns out we were there held by them for over 5 hours. And then when we turned around and tried to go back to the States, we were held there for about an hour as they checked out our paperwork and looked at our RV and stuff.
So there's like this no man's land between the two border checkpoints, and Marv, the RV, is just sitting in there bouncing back and forth.
Well, exactly. And in this area between these two nation states, you have no rights.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Oh, it's just on the edge. We'll be right back with Pete and Jason from MotorhomeDiaries.com on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, here from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, in the Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. And yesterday we had on motorhomediaries.com, Pete and Jason spreading peace, love, and freedom, and individual liberty, the message around, well, North America. They tried to go into Canada, and they wouldn't let them. Now, you know, go ahead and start from the beginning. We got like 12 minutes here, and I want you guys to go ahead. You pull up, and you say, hello, and what happened?
Yeah, Jason was driving, and this is Pete. Jason was driving. I was in the passenger seat filming. You know, handed over our passports, answered the standard questions about where we're going, and everything seemed to be all right. And then he asked us to pull aside to one of the bays, and, you know, we asked why, and he just said, pull aside, you know, pull over and walk inside the building. And we did that, and then, you know, they basically questioned us inside for a bit, and a couple border bureaucrats, I'll call them, like, went out to our RV and searched our RV, and then they were joined by a few other people who searched our RV. So, like, inside the RV, the exterior compartments, on top of the RV, under the RV, they later brought out a canine, and it ran that through twice, and, you know, found nothing. They questioned us. Mainly about like our ideas. They said there are two reasons that they can deny people entry to Canada, and that entry into Canada is not a right but a privilege. And there were two reasons they could deny us, and one was immigration, and one was for heinous propaganda. And they told us initially that they thought they were going to be able to refuse us for heinous propaganda. And we asked for a definition of heinous, and they basically just said read a dictionary. And they eventually brought in a box of literature from the Alliance for Libertarian Left that we had been given, that just was a bunch of pamphlets on like anarchy and agorism. And they were going through those. They were going through a bunch of our business cards. They went through a bunch of our personal papers. And when we later were able to come back to the RV, we found some of our papers here on the table, including one that Jason had written notes on yesterday in preparation for being on the air with you, just talking about, you know, like just. Advocate people to stop voting and paying taxes and things. And it was obvious they were looking at our notes, and they had, you know, certain books that advocated for like anarchy, sitting out. And basically they thought our ideas were dangerous, and they wanted to find some things. That's what it came across to me. They wanted to find some things to,
But the official reason that they cited was our bogus arrest in Jones County, which we spoke about yesterday. And, you know, they were looking for any excuse to not to allow us in, despite the fact that that evening we had like 25 people waiting on us that we were going to hang out with in Montreal. And then this weekend we're going to hang out with like 100 Canadian libertarians in Ontario, and then another meetup in Toronto and Windsor. So we were invited into the country by some great Canadians, lovers of liberty, but their government got in between them and us. But that's what governments do. But, you know, Jones County, like we talked about yesterday, is an example of government overreach. And just yesterday, it's another example. But this is like government everywhere. They have the guns. They make you disarm before you go to the border. They have all the guns. They have clubs. You know.
They have all the cameras. Like, we went inside. There's like a bunch of cameras outside, obviously taking a picture of the vehicle. We went inside. There's a bunch of cameras inside, you know, in the waiting area and up at the counter. And we were... Jason was ordered to delete the footage that I had taken as we rolled through the checkpoint, and then they checked our cell phones to make sure we weren't taking pictures, and they kept, you know, repeatedly asking us if we were recording, and I brought this up and said, hey, like, what's up with this double standard? Like, if government is to exist, supposedly it's the servant of the people, and it's kind of weird that the servants tell them, you know, what our rights are, what we can do, And you know, those kind of claims were just rebuffed.
You're American. Man, you're in Canada. You're not even in Canada. You're in the no man's, we get to do what the heck we want zone.
Oh, exactly. And if you want to see, like, a dystopian view of the future, go to that border checkpoint. They don't have names. They just have numbers. And that's how they wanted to be identified. So you have to, like, rattle off some six-digit number to get somebody's attention. And they were happy with that. So like, oh, I'm not a person. I'm a representative of the government. They told us in various forms.
Yeah. When we were eventually ordered, like refused entry, and we're grabbing our stuff and leaving, one of the border bureaucrats was telling me, like, look, I know you guys are online, but I don't want to be online. I'm just working for the government. I don't want to see my name out there. And I said, listen, like, they can write whatever they want on a piece of paper, but it's up to you. It's up to the individual that chooses to enforce it, and therefore you have to be accountable for that. And, you know, it just went back and forth for a while. But all these details are on our site now, motorhomediaries.com, and we'll be continuing to update that as kind of a working post.
You know, you guys, you know, you're exactly what they fear. I mean, this is when you take a spotlight and you go around and you say, okay, we are going to put a spotlight on how people are treated at various, what do you want to say, intersections across a free land here. And we used to think Canada and U.S. was kind of like another state. It was not that big a deal. I remember, you know, Mexico, Canada, you just go back and forth and so on. Now they want to do this North American Union kind of Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative Papers Please kind of thing. And we already had that. You know, we had to where it was a free travel. Now they're going, well, it's got to be regulated travel. It's got to be Papers Please travel. It's got to be bend over and take your anal probe travel. And what we have is that now you're looking at a situation to where it's not just going to be the Canadian border, it's going to be between states. And you guys are doing a real good job at demonstrating what this is going to be like.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ernie. I was once told that sometime in the 1800s, there was a time when the only nation state that required any form of passports was Russia. And that was considered like really backwards, and everybody else was, you know, look down on that, and, you know, look where we're at now.
And to be fair to Canada, I mean, it's the U.S. that militarized the border first, and I think Canada is, like, reacting to that. But now they're wearing bulletproof vests, and they have, like I said, guns and clubs. And as Pete noted on our blog post, they even have little paper stamps on their utility belts.
What?
Bureaucrat stamps for paperwork. They carry them on their belt now.
A couple of them had them on their utility belt, like with their asp and their gun and everything.
You know, it's like an old black and white Nazi movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's the way the world is trending in a post 9/11 world, and it's sad because I mean, our mission is about peace, and you know, we wanted to talk to some other peaceful folks, and the only violence that we've seen on the road so far is state-initiated.
You know, what are the people in Canada? They were looking forward to having you guys come. What was the reaction from them? Are they disappointed? What did they do?
Yeah, a couple of people have weighed in and said, you know, we kind of thought this may happen. But, you know, a lot of people were surprised this happened, including myself. Like, I figured, like, hey, you know, maybe we stand out. Maybe they go on our site and they want to ask us some questions. But, like, that's about it. Like, we're peaceful people. We advocate peaceful evolution. But like I said, when they first brought us in, they were said, hey, you guys may be guilty of heinous propaganda. And they thought, like, maybe we're trying to, you know, advocate for violence, and it's anything but.
Did you look up heinous?
Well, we don't know, like, the Canadian definition of what heinous propaganda is. They gave us one example, and that would be, like, if we advocated killing Barack Obama. Which, of course, you know, we don't advocate violence of the initiation of force of any type. And so that's what they were looking for. And of course, they didn't find it.
Yeah. And I think their definition, I mean, legislators purposely leave things vague, you know, to allow for a lot of discretion and allow for a lot of overreach and mission creep. So I'm sure that it's not really nailed down too specific.
Well, it says, you know, I'm looking it up now and it just says hateful, you know, to hate. Are you haters?
Yeah. Well, Ernie, we agree with you. It's a love illusion, you know. I mean, our movement, our message, you know, is about loving one another and just interacting peacefully. And but like I keep on saying, you know, it's the government that is violence, and they steal from us in order to pay for that violence. And you know, I just don't want to stand for it.
Wow! And I'm sure this is going to continue. When is your trip over? When do you consider yourself done?
Well, right now we have our itinerary posted until the, I guess, the end of October, beginning of September, when we're in the Bay Area, at which point we'll have rolled through 43 of the 48 states in the lower 48. But we're gonna take it from there and see what we do. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, one way or another, Motorhome Diaries will live on, whether it's other people doing it. But there's always going to be stories to tell about the government oppression and the heroes of the Liberty Movement.
You know, that a worthy goal, a worthy goal. And I'm wondering if, you know, the Revolution documentary they've been working on is supposed to come out this summer. Have they been able to include you guys in that?
This is the first I've heard about it, but I'll look it up online.
Yeah, it's, I can't remember, To Liberty or Trail of Liberty. They've been going around interviewing people, and I'm sure you've probably seen trailers for it. But the thing is that, you know, you guys are going to have your own movie. It's going to be a, you know, movie of the week.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, right now we're, you know, it's a real-time documentary, so we're putting some pretty raw footage up on YouTube and then on our blog, MotorhomeDiaries.com. And then we want to take, like, probably the best 90 minutes and have a more polished product at the end of the day.
I look forward to promoting it. All right, when you guys get done, you make sure we know about it, because, damn, this is a very good history lesson from people that understand the principles and are willing to stand up for them with, you know, perfect knowledge that they very well could be taken to jail, which has happened. So this is – and what the state doesn't realize is they think they're giving you a lesson. They're teaching you to respect their authority, and what they don't understand is having the exact opposite effect. They don't get it.
Well, Ernie, what I told these bureaucrats is, you know, one way or another, we're going to tell a story, and whether that story is going to be about, you know, the good work that our Canadian libertarian friends are doing in Montreal, Ontario, et cetera, or we're going to do a story about the abuse of power at the U.S.-Canadian border, and it looks like we're going to do the story on the latter.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling back in and giving us an update. You know, I'm glad you guys are all right. I wasn't really worried. I know you guys are smart enough not to get yourself in, you know, more trouble than necessary, but we've all learned a great lesson. Thanks to the MotorhomeDiaries.com. Pete and Jason will be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jet Lacy in the control room. We're going to bring Jet in here in a minute because we haven't had time to talk about all this stuff. We're just finishing up our second week, and I tell you, you can already tell what kind of guests and issues we're going to be discussing on the show. You know, are you behind? Are you up to speed? Are you in the revolution, or you're waiting on another one? You know, it's kind of like waiting on the Messiah. No, that's not it. This isn't the revolution. This isn't it. I remember a friend of mine. He was a secretary in one of the churches here in, I think it was the East Valley here near Phoenix. And he always signed his emails, you know, the Rebel Jesus, you know, and put his name. You know, he had this sig line at the bottom, the Rebel Jesus. And, of course, the point that he was making is that he was a rebel. You know, he was against the status quo. Well, the church members, or certainly some people on the board of directors, they did not like that. And if he was going to be secretary, which is a volunteer position anyway, I don't think he got paid. And he goes, look, you got to take that off. You know, every one of your emails going out to Rebel Jesus, you know, we don't want to associate, you know, Jesus being a rebel. And what was he? You know, I mean, you know, seriously, you know, what do you think was going on? It was a revolution between the ears, a whole different way of thinking. Well, that's what's happening now. Are you part of the revolution? Are you for humanity's expansion? You know, evolution into, you know, more autonomous, freedom-loving individuals? I mean, or you're not. You just want to control them. You want to put them in a box, your box, the way you want to do it? Is that what's going on? Well, we got that little bit of news here we put up on top of Freedom's Phoenix. You know, the owner of Republic Broadcasting Network, John Stadtmiller, was arrested last night. You know, everybody gets a turn. he stopped. There was somebody, the officers were had somebody stopped, and they're taking stuff out of the car and everything. And anytime we've done this, now we've done this here, and you always get in trouble. You know, you're not allowed to watch this, no matter how far away you are. Sure as heck, you know, the quality of video cameras now and boom mics and everything. We got the equipment, man. We just boom. We have 5 high-quality HD cameras amongst all of us. We have, you know, 3 high-quality ones that we use in our studio and 2 HD Canons that we have that are really high quality, almost as good as the other ones. They're just smaller. And when we go out and we see anything like this, boop, stop, you know, we just film. Now, because you just know. I mean, it used to be, you know, officer friendly stop. Now you were going a little fast, and we're going to, you know, give you a warning, or we'll give you this little ticket, and oh, and check and go and get and don't, you know, and be good, and then you'll be done. It was boring. Now it's every freaking time you have law enforcement, because they're not peace officers anymore. I mean, you know, this is law enforcement. And if we can't find a really, you know, good law to enforce, we'll make one up. Or we'll say you did one, you didn't. Or we just got this catch-all phrase, you know, civil disobedience, failure to obey, you know, my authority. You know, so this is what happens. Well, John stopped. He wanted to see what's up. He's 150 feet away. They go up and they say, hello, let's check you out. Ooh, we see you got a suspended license here. No, I don't. I paid that. You know, that's done a month ago. Got you know, nope, going to jail. And you know how likely this is? Because the exact same thing happened to me years ago. They took me in. They go like this, and you know, this is how it goes. You know, they we say, suspended. I go, no, it's not. You know, oh, computers don't lie. And I go, well, this time, you know, it's wrong. And they write you a ticket for, there was not a light on my license plate or something like that. And they go, we're going to give you a ticket for this. And I go, you know, it's amazing. You guys, I owned a restaurant, and I'm always coming home late. And where the area that I drove through, it was just a swarm of officers all the time. Anybody, you get through their dragnet. It was amazing. My wife even complained one time. She goes, why are you always pulling us over? And then that's where the phrase came from. Right then it dawned on me, and I turned around. I go, because they can. You think it's more complicated than that? Because they can. So you hear me say that a lot. You know, it's because they can. I mean, what else do you need? So what happened was, I go like this. I said, you know, you write me all these tickets and so on, and you threaten me with arrest, and then you act like you're doing me a favor. Because you're not taking me in. He drops his clipboard, puts me up against a car. You're under arrest. I was in overnight for, I don't know, 12, 15 hours. I was really tired, so I just took a nap. But the thing is that I'm in there for 12, 15 hours. All kinds of interesting stuff happened. And, you know, Sheriff Arpaio and I had a conversation. I remember the officer vest, as they take you out and they do all this stuff. They, is this your stuff that was in your pockets? This is your belt, and then you'll sign here and all that. You know, they put you in the cell. You know, they take that stuff off, put you in the cell, then bring you out and have you sign whatever. And there was a 19-year-old kid next to me, and he goes like this. He says, I'm not sure I'm going to incriminate myself, because he had like a marijuana pipe that was in his pocket. I want you to sign here for your property. And he's like, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but that'd be kind of like dumb, right? So he didn't want to do it. And he goes, you don't have any rights in my jail, you know, put them in the hole until, and then they got this restraining chair thing that people have died in and so on. So, I mean, they were really being, you know, heavy handed with this guy. And I'm standing and I leaned around to look at the guy's name on his shirt. And he goes to me and he goes, yeah, what do you want? And I go, I just wanted to, you know, see your name. And he goes, yeah, who are you? Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party. And I just found what you said interesting. Oh, well, Mr. Hancock, would you be so kind as to come over? I mean, you know, all of a sudden from then on, they were nice to me. So afterwards, you know, I know Sheriff Arpaio. I give him a call and I say, hey, Sheriff, let me tell you a little story. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't suspended. They dropped it. But I took it all the way on my light just to be a butthead. Because I'm going, no. I'm going to make you guys pay on this one. You know, we'll talk about it. Well, we'll find out. I'll give you the update on John Stepmiller and how it works when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jet Lacey. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the board, Jet Lacey, from the beautiful studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Now, one thing I want to tell you, next week, we already got scheduled Monday. We got Scott Horton. He's a talk show host for antiwar.com. Man, he gets a lot of great guests. And you think that they really are keeping out of the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, anything to do with our military in combat? What's going on? Antiwar has been around since Kosovo. You know, I mean, when they were doing, not Kokomo, Kosovo, okay? You know, not way down in, you know, Kokomo, it's Kosovo where they had the war during the Clinton administration. You know, yeah, forgot about that one, didn't you? I mean, it's just stupid stuff. This is where you had the issue, you know, Michael knew, you had the father and son. The son was homeschooled. He goes in the military, and all of a sudden they're saying, hey, you know, put on your blue beret. Take your American flag off your sleeve and start taking orders from this foreign general. And he goes, no. I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, not, you know, take orders from him. What the heck? Now, so that was kind of a PR thing. And then, you know, what precedent that set? You know, we need to, revisit that. I'll see if I can get those guys and find out, you know, what the actual ramifications of that now. Because people are doing this. You got people saying, heck, I'm not going because I don't think Obama's legitimately president. And they go, you know what? You don't have to. We've got to drop that one. We don't want to play. So, you know, that is, you know, antiwar.com, they were the first organization that I ever put a credit card online to give them like $5 a month or something, you know, back when I couldn't even afford $5 a month. So, and I remember they took out like 20. It was the minimum they could take. I said, whoa, I can't afford 20. You get back $5, man. And I think that was their minimum that it would work. So anyway, we worked it out. But the point was, is that I was so happy that the internet provided some kind of rallying point for someone to advocate, you know, peace. And that these, what's really going on, get behind the propaganda. Well, Scott Horton does a good job of that. Eric Garris runs a site. You know, Angela Keaton, a good friend of mine that was a national committee member on the Libertarian National Committee, and she's just too radical for him. She's like, heck, you guys, man, what the heck? You guys, where's the Libertarian Party in this anti-war movement? Where are they? You hear about them a lot, do you? No. So she's over at Anti-War, and Scott Horton's going to be on Monday, and, you know, we might open phones for that one. I mean, you know, I'll let you guys have at it. Oh, come get them, you know. That's one thing. Do you really want to go up against the Jedi Masters? You know, the Libertarians, we got an answer for everything. Doesn't it just make you mad? You just, come on, you know. You guys got something for me? Bring it on. We'll do that today. You know, today, we'll probably do Fridays, because Fridays, you know, you're building up the week. You fill up the beginning of the week. We already got next week starting to fill up. And then Friday, you know, it's kind of a, we'll have fun with it. We'll do some skits and stuff with Jets. He and I will start talking, and we'll encourage you to call in and be part of the show. And, you know, that'd be Caller Friday kind of thing. You know, and if something comes up like the Motorhome Diaries, you know, you know we had to do that one. You know, come on. And then the rest of the time, we'll open up to you and put up the number. It's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. 313-9443. We'll make a jingle. Now, the next day, on Tuesday, we have Shelley Roche. Now, Shelley is from Break the Matrix. Now, Break the Matrix was a kind of an outshoot of the Ron Paul Revolution, where we had Trevor Lyman was one of the initial people that helped get that going, and because he had internet skills. You know, he's the guy that raised tens of millions of dollars for Dr. Paul. And of course, he'd say it wasn't him, but, you know, it's always somebody out front doing something first. But he created a web page that just linked right back to Dr. Paul's donation thing. They never even saw the emails, didn't even see who did it, didn't care. It was just a money bomb. They go, you know, we're going to do a money bomb on, you know, Bill of Rights Day. We're going to do a money bomb on Tea Party Day. We're going to do a money bomb on whatever it was. I remember it was Guy Fawkes. It was November 5th. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. So when we did that, he had that. People went and they go, I remember being in meetings and so on. They brought us in, the Ron Paul campaign and so on. And we were in Washington after one of the rallies. And they asked us, they go, how'd you guys raise this money? And we're like looking at each other going, well, we didn't. You know, you did. It's a message. We just said, go over here on this day and do it. Well, how'd you do that? And we're going, wow, man. They, you know, even they're right in the middle of it. And this generation, they don't understand. If you represent the people and they want you to continue representing whatever it is that you're advocating, you know, freedom brings a lot of people together, then they want you to go ahead and do it. And they feel that their $5, $10, $20, $100 is, you know, is worth giving to you. It's not more complicated than that. If you go off message or you start dealing with other stuff they don't have interest in, or, you know, whatever, they're interested in other stuff, it goes away. Well, they just kind of thought that this was always come in, and they didn't realize, you know, it was the revolution supporting itself. Not really an individual, or because they go on the Campaign for Liberty stuff. I don't know what success they're having over there, but it's more an entity or control that's of the, you know, the collective. It's the Campaign for Liberty. It's for that organization, whatever it is they want to do, or even Dr. Paul. It's not really for the revolution, you know, for people just doing whatever. So they have limited funds. They go, do I give it to Campaign for Liberty? Do I join them? Yeah, probably. We'll give a little bit. We'll go over there and help, you know, word up. But they got their own stuff. They've been doing their own stuff. They were totally decentralized. They were doing whatever they wanted. So they did. And they supported it with money. Now they're doing it in other ways, like Motorhome Diaries. Well, part of that, Trevor Lyman was the guy that after he did the Ron Paul blimp. You know, he just raised the money. All of a sudden, you know, if we had enough money, we'd get a blimp. We probably need it. Boom, there it is. Do it. Okay, I guess we have to do it now. So they did it. After that, I remember July 12th, I think it was, of 08, when we had the big rally in Washington, D.C. a year ago, the Revolution March. I sat and talked with Shelley and Trevor, and they were gearing up this Break the Matrix. And what they're doing is they're trying to create a consolidation of media, you know, mostly video, that they are making available to go online or into cable. Now, this Freedom Watch with Judge Napolitano on Fox, that's kind of what that is. You know, that's an online thing. Now, Shelley Roach is one of the people on that show. You'll see her there with a laptop, and she's tweeting and social networking and talking to the judge and reading off what some people are saying, and she's communicating and all that. So she's a big social networker, as is Drew Phillips here. So to get them both on the same show Tuesday, oh, Drew's very happy. I know you're out there smiling, Drew. Come on. Shelley's a beautiful girl. And I remember saying that, I'm going, you know, being a beautiful young lady does not hurt. You know, it does not hurt. And being intelligent and able to participate in this kind of stuff and have an effect, ooh, man, this arrows just keep coming at the state from all directions. Yep. This next generation, Generation Next, the Revolution. So that's Tuesday. And then I see on the schedule here, Dollar Bud Lights at the Arizona Center. What the heck is that, Jet?
Well, you know, it can't all be work, work, work. You know, we got to have a little fun. And down at the Arizona Center, there's a place, which is kind of a mall that we have here in Phoenix. There's, you know, dollar beers, 16-ounce drafts on
Tuesday. So it's on the schedule.
Yes.
I guess we have to do it then.
That's right.
All right.
First things first, we got the show, then we got some beers.
Hey, you know, everybody at, you know, a lot of the guys involved here, I guess Tuesday afternoon is party. So we'll go down there and do that. It's we're due. You know, we've been working hard. Things have been going well. Now, so this week, we're encouraging you guys, you know, you go ahead and call in. 800-313-9443. We've been talking about a lot of controversial stuff, you know, just anarchy in the USA. You know, I mean, you know, how controversial we got to get. You know, the thing is that, you know, when you have John Stattmiller, I'm sure he's going to have a story about his arrest and how valid the, you know, the paperwork and their little computer was and everything. Because when I went through this, I'll tell you, you go to, finally the date comes and you play all contrite and everything. I already knew I was going to do. It was what I always do. Whenever I was stopped, it's a long story. Bottom line is this. It's always petty stuff. It's just because they can, and it angers me, and I'm not going to let them, you know, have a net financial benefit. And if they're not making money, and it's never for anything, you know, stupid stuff, you know, your taillight didn't blink right, or just dumb stuff because they can. So what happens, I always have all my papers and insurance and all that kind of stuff, and I'm like, you know, it got to the point that one of my work vehicles, delivery vehicles we have for their pizza restaurant, you know, it was registered and it was up to date and everything, but I didn't put the little sticker on the license plate, so they pulled me over. I drive that car, a little, they call it the pizza belly bug. They knew who I was. It was logoed, it was the belly bug. You know, we had this, you know, blue old VW painted up and everything. It was cool. So what happens is they pull you over. And then what do? They go, all right, Mr. Hancock, you know, we didn't see your sticker. You got to, you know, I go, you know, I don't, I got it. It's ready. I just don't know where the little sticker is. All right, we got to write you a ticket for that. And they can check. They know it's registered, but you didn't put your little sticker on. So then, you know, you have your license, your insurance. Like, you know, it was here a second ago. I can't find it. So they write you a ticket for that. A lot of times they'll let you go on the registration thing because they know it's registered and so on. They're like, ah, dang it. But you always get them to stop you so that you can not have your insurance, because that's a $600 ticket, man. They're getting you for that one. So all you do is you got to mail it in. At, you know, see, I had it. I didn't have it on me. Because what happens is you have to have insurance, you know, and you have to show it. But once you show it to the court later, they just drop the citation. But I'd always plead not guilty. So that you have to have the officers come to the court. And it was close where my restaurant was, and they always had it at 10 o'clock right before lunch or 1 o'clock after lunch. So I, you know, have employees and family there running the stuff, so I didn't have to, you know, the hustle and bustle of getting ready for lunch or clean up after. So I'm perfectly willing to go down and sit in the court for a couple of hours reading whatever. And then they said you couldn't take in papers anymore, which I didn't like papers anyway. So I just bring in a book. So the thing is that this was not, you know, it's a right mental attitude you'd have on this. It wasn't a pain for me. I would go down, sit there, and go, yep, there you go, present your case. He did his thing. Go, I go, you know, here it is, judge, I got it right here. I found it, got, you know, boom, case dismissed. Dang it. You made him come down. Yes, I did. So after a while, these officers, all the same guys, you know, they know me. They know what I'm doing. They stop stopping me. I can't get stopped anymore. You know, it's just, you know, until I get the, you know, the left or right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party, you know, make an example out of me. But what happened was, remember one time they go, when they had the suspension thing, they said, oh, well, in the pretrial hearing, you go to the prosecutor. Well, Mr. Hancock, we're going to dismiss this because of a lack of evidentiary blah, blah, support of yada, yada, some legal crap. And I go, what? And he goes, well, we don't show that it was suspended. I go, ding, 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 ding. I thought we had this conversation with the officer. Well, it was, you know, I don't know how. And I'm like, somebody pushed little buttons and made it, you know, go up. So that's one reason why I called our pilot. Hey, Joe, sup, man? I was on the list. How'd that happen? But anyway, so what happens is they want to dismiss everything. Well, I got to agree to it. And I go, okay, let them dismiss everything except the taillight that was out. We go to trial. The guy gets up. He says, well, we were traveling south on 7th. I go, you know, no, we weren't. We're traveling north. And the left taillight. No, it wasn't. It was the right taillight. So I'm just, you know, a little stupid stuff. I wasn't even going to address this. I didn't care, you know. So we go through the thing. I said, you know, Your Honor, I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, you got this wrong and this wrong. And, you know, that's it. And she goes, that's it? That's your case? I go, yeah, no, I'm good. She goes, well, you didn't present any evidence that you weren't in violation of the taillight thing. You know, then she made the mistake. This is what I was waiting for. In the beginning, when we first started the process, you know, the judge starts, you know, instructing all the people there for whatever tickets, saying, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what you're only allowed to bring up issues pertaining to the case and only this and that. And they were talking to me. They knew what I was going to do. I was waiting for an opportunity to go off, you know, just say whatever and, you know, be done. Well, I'm not going to go there if it's not at least entertainment value for me. But I knew the maximum on this, I don't even think it was any points. It was $63, $67 ticket. That's all it was, $67. Okay? So that's my maximum penalty on this thing. I'm going to get my $67 worth. I want to make sure the officer has to come down. I want to make sure the court's got to spend a lot. I want to make sure they lose money on calling Ernest Hancock into their game. So go up. She says all the stuff I can't say. I don't say anything. Then she does at the very end. She goes, now, why would you waste the court's time and resource? And I go, a question. And I go, because he. And I went off on a tirade on, you know, how I'm treated all the time when I come home, or how they're, you know, arrested. They need the support of the business community here to do this. This is unreasonable, and it's just a, you know, fundraising, yada, yada. I go off, and then she starts flipping through the papers really fast. She's all mad now. And I go, 67. And she goes, what? And I go, you're looking for how much you can charge me, right? $67. And she goes, fine, boom, pass, get out of my courtroom, and all this kind of, and everybody's like, yay, you know, just going, look, there's other ways to address this. You know, you play through the system. You can be, if you cost them money, it's all about the money. And if you know that and you play that, you know, that's how you can maintain your sanity.
It seems to me like everything is a shakedown, you know, with the tax revenues dropping like a stone. But what they don't understand is that the ancillary thing is, by pulling us over for these little reasons, it really affects our rights, our time, our day, whatever we're trying to do.
our support of them. You know, what's the purpose of government is to defend individual rights. Whose rights were violated? You know, where was the damage here? Who's the damaged party? You know, there has to be someone on the other side. This is why, you know, libertarians get all anal about this concept of the state versus. We're like, the state? You know, the state? Are they bleeding somewhere or something? The state was, you know, where the heck does the state become an entity in this thing? You know, where's the damaged party? Where's the blood on the asphalt? So you libertarians get, well, you don't even believe in stoplights. Mandatory stoplights? I mean, so the thing is that, you know, of course, you know, there's going to be a rule of law, but, you know, based on what? And who's the damaged party? And you're going to have rules and regulations and everything if it's my private road. You know, I mean, it's always, that's why we have that one thing. What about the roads? Where we're going, there aren't any roads. Because it always comes down to that. What about the roads? Well, you have enslaved the next generation into guaranteeing that they're paying for roads when you got this three-dimensional space all over us that we're, even if we started doing it, what the next generation has to pay another 30 years in bonds for these antiquated roads that are heating up everything, that are a waste of resources, that I'm just, I look at it and go, why are you enslaving generations to old technology? Why? Because they can.
The other point is, who's the state? Isn't it supposed to be us?
No. It's, I mean, no, it's not. They want to make you think it is. You know, the state, we're here to serve you. When was the last time you even said that? No. No, we're in this on our own against the man. So the best thing you can do, you'll see here. Of course, I know how bad it is. But if you're not having fun opposing the man, then you're doing it wrong. And we're going to help you do it right. We're going to have some fun here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, we'll be back in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock here, and declare your independence with me. But you don't need me. You can do it yourself. And you don't even need a government form. You just go, I declare my independence. And I don't care. You know, the one thing is, oh, you're an independence declaring guy. Well, you still have this form. You're still allowing your name to be in all caps going into a court with all the fringe on the clag, and you're doing blah, 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 all this stuff. I'm like, you know what? You know, can I pick my battles? Can I pick the battle? You know, I definitely, you know, put my chest up against a man whenever it's appropriate, and sometimes not. You know, I give you a perfect example. They go, when the man comes to your front door and demands your firearms, you're going to turn him over like everybody else. And I go, oh, absolutely. The ones that are there. Yeah, I joined the Chinese underground a long time ago, bought an SKS and buried it. Yeah, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You see, the point is that, you know, why do you fight these guys on their turf? Now, you're going to sit there and start putting your chest out and declaring all kinds of constitutional rights and authority and everything, you know, without somebody with a video camera on the side of the road with a gendarme with, his hand on his firearm? I mean, come on, man. You know, be smart about this. Be prepared. Be ready. Be recording. Have friends with recorders and other friends with recorders recording the recorders that are recording you recording. You know, you think we? How do you think we get away with this stuff? It could be second, third level of recorders before we actually get something on the air, because we know better. We've gone to court. We fought it all the way. Shelton 4409, man, he's always in trouble. You know, we go. I remember Jet was there. First time Jet went to court with us. You know, he's going in there, and we sat there. I got to tell you this story. How much time we got on this? I'll do a real quick Ellen Wood version on this. He was filming a protest, and they arrested him standing on a public sidewalk, member of the press, filming because he refused to provide identification, which under Arizona law, you don't have to. If you're not doing a crime or suspected of having committed a crime or going to commit a crime, you know, you're good. But they wanted to, you know, you will respect our authority, everybody. You do this to channel whatever? You do this, you know, what was it? Is there some, like, government-approved shiny badge for, you know, press? How does this work? Well, it got a lot of attention. Finally, it goes down five charges of all this stuff. And he was right. He handled himself appropriately. Mark Victor took it to court. Before, he didn't even have to put on a defense case. He goes, I want a Rule 20 or 21, whatever it is. He goes, I want a rule, whatever, which is, it says it needs to be dismissed. It should have never got here. And the prosecutors, they just wanted to, we're going to make you do it. And the thing was, is that the judge even said, he goes like this, he goes, now on this last charge of not showing night, even though the law says that, I'm willing to entertain an argument from the prosecutor saying that the mere fact that there was a dispatch call for him to go out was suspicion enough of a crime to get ID from everybody. This is how you get judges writing law. Now, even the prosecutor is like going, he wasn't willing to make that argument because he knew what happened. You know, there's going to be a lot of news on this one. His name's going to be on it, and it's going to go to appeal, and he's probably going to lose. He was just like, man, what am I doing here? He tried to get the case dropped to his supervisors, and they wouldn't let him do it. So we go to this, and this guy, he was kind of a decent guy, and the judge, they go up to the bench, Mark and the prosecutor, the defense attorney and the prosecutor, and you can hear the judge saying, oh, do you want me to drop this case? And he goes, hey, you know, it's not my job to, you know, I'm not the judge. I'm just, you know, here showing this what the law says. You know, I'm kind of, well, I'm willing to entertain this argument that you, you know, just the fact that you're called, you get to ask everybody. So he goes, okay, they turn around. Then the judge has second thoughts. And he goes, well, you know, was it you on me? He goes, judge, you know, it's up to you. So finally he dismisses it. After all this case that they did, and even the officer testifying that, well, I want a baseline. When I go anywhere, I, you know, everybody, papers please to everybody. Clear violation of Arizona state law and Constitution and U.S. Constitution. So finally, Mark, at the end, he goes, I'm appalled. And he goes into his speech. But afterwards, when they ruled in our favor, we sat there and we were just like, what the heck just happened? We didn't even cheer or anything. Is this really? I mean, and Mark turned around and he goes, now you see what I deal with every day. Wow. Well, here, we're here highlighting it so you don't have to someday. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.